here tonight with Alfonso Seville from Heartsick. They are a fantastic Michigan-based band that I feel like over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, you guys have really gained a much larger following, and it just keeps fucking growing.
Yeah, that's the really cool part, man. It feels like it's interesting because we've been a band for such a long time. Granted, we had a different name for about 14 years, and we've been Heartsick now for, I want to say, like, almost 10 years, because, so what, it's 20? Yeah, so it's been 10 years since we've been Heartsick. Jesus Christ, it's crazy. But before that, we were called No Life, KNOWLYFE, and, you know, we changed the band name to Heartsick and all that other stuff. So we've been doing it for a really long time, the same members minus one. And it's cool to see the band sort of finally kind of catching on a, like, a broader spectrum in some aspects. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with just longevity. Like, we've never just slowed down. We've never really stopped. We've never taken a break. But also, I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that, like, Danny Wimmer Presents really kind of helped push us in a more, like, mainstream direction, as far as the getting into more people's faces when they started doing those kind of, like, competitions and stuff that they were doing.
Yeah.
And we joined a couple of those, and those really, I think, boosted our profile playing their festivals and stuff. And I think once we were established in that sort of weird niche, we've then been able to get our bearings together and sort of compile enough funding between ourselves to start doing more, like, online ads and stuff like that. And I think that's really all kind of where, like, it culminates together. But I think people really are starting to find out about us, and I think that's really cool. It's great.
Well, I think a large part of that is your live show.
Yeah. I think a lot of that is that as well. I think people really realize that we're not the typical sort of band when it comes to a stage show. Like, all of us grew up listening to, you know, like, the normal, like, Korn, Limp Bizkit, that kind of stuff. But we also grew up listening to a lot of hardcore bands, a lot of bands like Converge, bands like Dillinger Escape Plan, At the Drive-In, stuff like that, you know, Madball. And I think a lot of those bands, what we took from those influences was a real in-your-face type of show. And that's just always how we've been. And I think that when people come to our shows, they're not going to get the typical sort of band is rocking out on stage type thing. I think with us, like, we're really into the whole hardcore mentality when it comes to, you know, the whole stage dives and high fives type of thing.
Right. Well, and you know, I think the live show is what sets a lot of bands apart, right? Like, there's, you go to a show and you see, I mean, I was at a show Saturday night, and the opening band was honestly, like, was not getting it. I think for anyone in the crowd, everyone was just kind of like twiddling their thumbs and like, okay, what's next? Cause they're good musicians, but there was, like, no heart, no soul behind it. So you didn't feel anything, right?
Yeah. I think that, and I'm glad that you say that, because I think that fans and people really have a good eye and, like, ear and feel for that type of vibe. Like, there's always a band that's good. Like, you know, you're always going to give a band their due if they're, like, a good band. They sound good, they play good, whatever. But there's something specific about watching a band that really moves your soul, really moves the, you know, the vibrations of who you are, like, on the inside when it comes to, like, liking heavy music.
Yeah.
And I think those types of band, like, it's like when you saw Korn for the first time, come on, like, MTV or something, you were like, holy crap, what is this type of thing? Or when, like, or Deicide, or, like, things that, like, either shocked you or, like, moved you in a way that made you feel something. And I feel like we as a band, if anything else, have that with our live show. You know, maybe that's presumptuous of me to say, but I feel like that's true.
Well, the energy, you know, really. I mean, that I think the first time I saw you guys was it was at Bloodfest. That was
Oh
when,
man, wow. Holy
yeah,
crap.
that was a
I haven't heard that festival name in
right, yeah.
years. Dude, holy shit, Bloodfest. What a cool fest that was, man. I wish that was still around in some aspects, you know?
My that's ex like my wife today literally was like, you remember that place we went and they had like stages in here and stages over here? I'm like, yeah, that was Bloodfest. And she's like, is that what that was? I said, yeah, it was, you know, at well, fucking Heartland Community Center or whatever. And she's,
Yeah, dude. Oh my God.
yeah.
Heartland Center. I forgot about that. Oh man, dude. When was the last Bloodfest? Was that like 2019 or something?
That's what I'm thinking. It had to be maybe
Bro.
even a little bit earlier than that, maybe like 2018 or something.
Yeah. It was either 2018 or 2019. One of those for sure.
Yeah. That was always cool though, because it was like, what, five, six stages? They jammed all the fucking bands on and it just went all day long.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah, and you can go kind of like into room to room and kind of check out all the different types of bands. I
Yeah.
thought that was a cool fest. It really was. They really had something special with that festival
Yeah,
for sure.
I absolutely agree. I think, and then the last time I saw you was Louder Than Life.
Oh shit, yeah. Louder Than Life. Yeah, that was 2022. Yeah, because
Yeah.
we didn't play it last year. We played it this year, so yeah.
Are you guys playing this year?
I wish, but no, like, you know, in the sake of just being like having a conversation, like we wanted to and we tried, but sadly, like, I don't know, like every year they kind of change up the lineups and shit. And I think we sent out a few emails to all the people at Danny Wimmer Presents, and we kind of like were trying to get on any of the festivals that they have, but we just didn't get chosen, which is fine. You know, it just is what it is. We got to play a few. We got to play Incarceration last year, and then the year before that we got to play Louder Than Life and Aftershock, and that was cool. So like, I don't know, you know, maybe next year they'll throw us on a festival, but we'll see. This year we've got some pretty cool ones. We've got a brand new festival that's happening here in Michigan in Jackson, which is Havoc Fest. And that's looking like it's going to be a really, really dope festival. Our
That's with Kitty,
manager,
right?
yeah. So our manager Shane, and then a guy that helps, he's like, he is our booking agent kind of, but not, because he's been having a few medical problems. So I've kind of taken over the booking again, just because Ryan is, you know, he's kind of like having some health issues, and we don't want to kind of overburden him. But
Yeah.
Ryan, who's Shane's like business partner, those two guys are helping put Havoc Fest together. And then so they're doing that, and that's shaping up to be a really cool fest, which is dope because Ryan and Shane, those guys have really worked hard to kind of start developing their own type of festivals, and they're really smart about it. They're really savvy about how they want to do these fests. So they started last year with just a regular like 90s themed type festival, like alternative rock and like alt metal kind of fests. And that one's called Rockin' the Tee Box. And I think last year they had like Eve Six, and they had Everclears, I think, or something. And this year they're doing something a little bit different, but along the lines of the same like 90s type vibe. I don't know who they have yet announced for that one, but it did really well. So then they decided that they, you know, their investor wanted to try and do a couple more fests. So they ended up now announcing Havoc Fest, and then they just announced like a country music festival.
Oh.
So that'll be cool. It's cool to see them kind of like doing that
Yeah.
type of stuff. So it's very
Well,
cool.
that's what DWP was doing here. So I live in Louisville.
Yeah, sick.
And it was like leading up to COVID, the year before COVID, they did like September was the Country Music Fest, which I think was Hometown Rising, then Bourbon and Beyond, and then Louder Than Life.
Yeah, and I think right now, I think that's kind of where we're seeing these things kind of go as far as like festivals in the United States. I think the United States is finally kind of catching up to what Europe has been doing for many, many, many years now, where it's like Europe really has a lot of festivals in the summer. It's like just
Yeah.
festival city for them. So, they have like Grass Pop, they have Pink Pop, they have, Wacken, they have, excuse me, Vacken.
Yeah.
They have
They've got Hellfest and
Hellfest. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, it could name a festival out in Europe and they've got like a million of them, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they know how to do festivals real well, which is interesting because we as like culturally here in the United States have never been good at doing like festivals. All our festivals kind of like come up and then just die off because they're just too expensive. But I think the United States has finally kind of like come to grips with how to do like festivals. And I think that's what you're seeing. That's why you're seeing like a lot of festivals are doing like a country festival. Like a lot of companies are doing like a country festival and they're doing like a rock festival and doing like a metal festival. But Danny Wimmer is definitely like, they are, I'm gonna say, like, probably the best at what they do because they've been doing it for so long. And
Yeah.
I think Danny Wimmer has just, he's got the longevity and he's been around in the scene forever. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize, but Danny Wimmer is the guy that discovered Limp Bizkit. So,
I didn't know that.
yeah, so fun story. He was a bar owner in Florida. He's originally from Jacksonville, Florida, and he owned a couple of bars down there. And he decided that he would like, start letting local bands play the bars or whatever. And Limp Bizkit was one of the local bands, and like they would sell out the bar all the time. So yeah,
Hell yeah.
Danny Wimmer was really in the thick of it, like for the whole like new metal era type thing with like, so like Cold used to play his bar and Limp Bizkit. There's a band called Crossbreed, band called Scrape, like all those bands would play his bars out in Jacksonville area.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, look, and now he's grown it into this,
Yeah,
right?
not exactly, right? And that's cool. Like, I mean, I think that's obviously that says a lot about, the ability to not only make something that is worthwhile and that people love, but also has the potential to bring in, a lot of business and income for a lot of people. And I think that that's
Oh,
fantastic. I don't think there's anything
for
wrong with
sure.
that. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, shit, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars coming through Louisville just Louder Than Life weekend. Like that was, what, 180,000 people.
Yeah, dude, I think what 2023 was like the highest it's been the last time, I think. So we'll see what 2024 brings, man. I mean,
Well, what do you think about like that Slayer like coming back and playing the couple of festivals?
dude, I mean, like I'll be honest, I have never been the biggest Slayer fanatic. Like as a metalhead, I respect Slayer. Obviously, Slayer is Slayer. I'm a very coined millennial. I was born in 81. I discovered Slayer right around 92 from one of my buddies, Ruben, who handed me a record from them. Like, I appreciate Slayer. Our bass player, Waylon, is a huge Slayer fan. Fucking loves Slayer. I myself, yeah, whatever. But we've played with them before back when, do you remember Rockstar Monster, like Monster Energy Drink, like festival or something, whatever that
Yeah.
was?
Yeah, what
So,
shit. I don't remember what the name of it is.
yeah, we did a couple of those. It was like, was it the Monster Energy Drink or Rocks? I think it was Rockstar Energy Music Fest. I think that's what it was. And we did a couple of those, and Slayer was on one of them. We opened for Slayer, like, as part of the festival, and it was great, like, amazing. Like, Slayer is amazing, but I've never been a huge fan. At the same time, it's Slayer. It's like,
Yeah.
you can't deny the impact that Slayer has had on heavy metal. Like, what to me, what Metallica is to heavy metal in general, as far as like the sphere of heavy metal, Slayer is that to extreme metal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for
They
sure. So there's a reason that they're part of the Big Four, right? Like the Big Four are there for a reason. They're all super influential in their respective areas, right? Like,
Exactly.
I like Anthrax in small doses, but I really respect what they did for. Shit, they're some of the earliest like rap metal kind of mix up with I'm the Man, that I remember.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's I that's I'm glad that you said Anthrax, because like, that's another band that like I've never I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh yeah, like I'm a huge Anthrax fan. We've played with Anthrax before, we've opened for them. I'm not gonna sit here and say that like Anthrax is like my favorite band ever, because not really. But I mean, they're Anthrax, and you gotta respect Anthrax. And it's
Yeah.
like, yeah, what Anthrax did for heavy metal and thrash metal and stuff like that, and sort of like the rap metal, they were really one of the first like Bay Area thrash bands that were like, screw it, like let's mess around with this like
They weren't
rap
Bay
metal,
Area at all.
you know. Well, yeah, like, but they're like a thrash band, right? I think if I remember
Yeah.
correctly, like, Anthrax is like a thrash, but they're not from, where is Anthrax from? New York, is that where
Yeah.
they're from?
Yeah,
Okay,
and
that's what I'm.
I think they were like I always look at them as kind of a crossover band because they throw in some punk and some hardcore and
Yeah.
thrash and some hip hop, and they're kind of all, I think they're really the first band that put all of that together and pushed it out.
Yes. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And yeah, so I think for me, it was like when you have a band like Anthrax that's doing that, and one of the very first type of bands to sort of throw caution to the wind and say, you know what, like let's mess with this like rap and metal with Run DMC and stuff. And I think they did the was that the Judgment Night soundtrack that they were part of as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that was cool, man. And seeing them do that, I think all of that combined together, I mean, you can't deny the power and the influence that those bands have had. You know what I'm saying? So
Oh, for sure.
when you announce a band like Slayer, who's coming back, you know, after they decided that they were never going to come back, that they were done, you know. I was like, even I think like 3 weeks ago I read an article with like Kerry King after he
Talking
announced,
shit about
like,
everyone. Yeah.
yeah, Kerry King like announcing Slayer like doing a reunion, that would never happen, blah blah blah.
Yeah, but like I look at that as like Kerry was, what was he doing? He was doing a big build up because in that at that same time, what did he do? Dave Lombardo is dead to me, and that like ripped over the internet. Like, oh my God, I can't believe Kerry was doing that. Well, whether he's friends with Dave or not, who gives a shit? Like the
Yeah, like that was another thing too, because like I said, I mean, 2 weeks or 3 weeks before, like, they announce, Slayer's getting back together, it's like this dude's like on all the platforms pushing, the Kerry King project that he has, and then like suddenly everybody's like, oh yeah, we're doing a Slayer reunion. It's like, wait, what? What do you mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it, right? And that's, I think I always chalk that up to that's exactly why he did it, just to really start the media going, 'cause he was quiet for a long time. Probably working a lot on his, the Kerry King band, and I would assume getting all that shit ready with Slayer. But whatever. I'm a Slayer guy. I love Slayer. I'm super glad they're playing. I'll be
Dude,
there.
like, I'm not like, and again, like, it's not like I've ever hated on Slayer, but like, for me, it was one of those things when it came to like Slayer in the grand scheme of things, even with our band, when we were first coming up, with Slayer and influence, as we're, we were starting in like the basements and playing all the like the house shows before, starting to do tours and all that stuff. Slayer was definitely an influence on some of that stuff, as far as like just sort of the home kind of like play your local shows and just be extreme and all this other shit. And then suddenly, they blow up and, they become the Slayer that everybody knows and loves. And like, sure, that influenced us in some way, but for me personally, it was never like that wasn't a band that I would like right off the rip go, yeah, clear. Like, I motivates me that I feel like was a band that I was like, yeah, like when I heard that band, it changed my fucking life. Would probably be Deftones for sure. That band, it was like Deftones, and then another band really for me was that really like just blew me out of the water, Fear Factory. When I heard Fear Factory, man, that was just like a kick to the teeth, dude. Like, that band really just put me onto some other shit. So Slayer was one of those bands that was kind of like, I discovered them after. It was like giving them like credit because they're part of the metal community, but it wasn't like the biggest thing. However, I will say that in recent years, I've gone back and I've listened to a lot of Slayer records. And I will say, and it's funny because the record that everybody hates from Slayer, apparently, like the real downright like Slayer fans, I think God Hates Us All. That's the record. I fucking love that record.
I think it's a great album too.
But like, I've read shit and it's like people are like, oh, that's their fucking new metal record, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God, get over
Yeah,
it,
it's
guys. Get
Slayer,
over it.
grow up.
Yeah, get over it,
So
I think.
Deftones. I'm a big Deftones guy too. Love that band. God, I'm gonna say I've seen them well into triple digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see him about every chance I get.
I have seen the Deftones. Let's see. I've seen the Deftones now probably like four times, I think. Yeah, I probably have seen the Deftones like four times in the history of like being a fan. I discovered them in 94. When I was in high school, my buddy, like, we like, do you remember like Columbia House? Yeah. So we would do those Columbia House things, right?
Dude,
And
they got ripped off so bad.
oh, dude, I'm sure that company is still trying to recover its losses from all that nonsense, dude. You kidding me? But yeah, that's how I discovered Deftones. My buddy like did one of those like for a penny, get 10 CDs or whatever the hell it was, you know.
Yep.
And he ended up getting Adrenaline, and that record just really changed my life. Like, that record was really like, I was already getting into those types of bands. So I had a buddy who was like a real metalhead, but he was like into like the crazy extreme shit. So I had a buddy, his name is Ruben. We're still friends to this day. And he was like already like discovering like Deicide and like Obituary and like Carcass, like death metal, you know,
Yeah.
6 Feet Under, those kinds of bands. And he would show me that stuff and I was like, yo, this is crazy, this is extreme, you know, this is nuts. But then I started getting into, so I went from like that, and then I started discovering bands like Madball, H2O, Stretch Armstrong, you
Shit,
know, that,
sworn enemy, sick of it all.
yeah, Sick of It All for sure. Like all the early hardcore bands, Earth Crisis, Strife. I started listening to a lot of those bands and discovering like hardcore. So it was this weird kind of time that I'm sitting in where it's like I'm discovering death metal and kind of being like, oh, this is scary and crazy, and my parents are going to hate this, so it's going to be great, you know? And then there's also this like hardcore aspect of like unity and like, you know, straight edge and all this other stuff. And then that same buddy who was showing me bands like Deicide and Obituary and stuff hands me like a Pantera record, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? And I remember listening to Pantera for the first time, and the first song I ever heard was Far Beyond Driven, and I was just like, this is the craziest, coolest shit in the world, you know. And I was like, Pantera, yeah, you know. And then he showed me Korn, and it was like, it was before Korn made their video for Blind. Like, I remember listening to Korn, and he gave me that record, and then he was like, oh, you should check it out in a week. This band's coming out with a video, and like everyone's talking about it. And then I remember getting on MTV and watching the premiere on 120 Minutes, when MTV used to have 120 Minutes, and they released the Blind video, and I was like, oh my God, this is life changing, you know? And so it's like I'm in this weird like spectrum of like these different types of metal, like between like death metal and nu metal, where, you know, where nu metal is just kind of becoming a thing,
Yeah.
and then hardcore type of stuff. And of course, you know, I mean, there was Metallica always, you know, Metallica. My dad loved Metallica, so I grew up listening to Metallica. And like, when I first started playing an instrument, when I first started learning how to play bass, because I was originally a bass player, I learned the first song I think I ever learned on bass, not guitar. The first song I ever learned on guitar was Hole, Doll Parts. And
All right.
then we started off real simple. Real simple. Two chord progressions is what we were getting to. And then, you know, in high, like it was like in middle school. And then in high school, we wanted to start a band, and everybody was a better guitar player than me. So I was like, well, we need a bass player, so you're going to be the bass player. And I was like, okay. And I bought a bass, and I saved up all my lunch money, and I saved up all my money for Christmas, my birthday, and everything. And the first song I ever learned on bass was Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls. That was the first song I ever really learned. And you know, so Metallica's, I think Metallica's just a staple of any metal fan ever. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of
Oh,
like,
absolutely, right? And it's they kind of touch almost every aspect of like metal. So anyone who ever got into metal, there's a Metallica record that they're like, yeah, that's the fucking album, you know? Kill
yep.
'em all, so thrashy and early, and then right, Ride the Lightning and
Oh
Master,
yeah,
dude. Ah.
classics, man. It's like you. It's I love that you name all those, but what I love more is your genuine reaction to just saying the names of the records, because if you love metal, you cannot say Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets without getting excited,
Right.
because they were that exciting when you first listened to them. And to this day, you're still like, you can still hear, like Call of Cthulhu or like Master of Puppets or like Battery and
Oh,
like in your
yeah.
head. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Damage Incorporated or fucking,
right? Like,
yeah.
dude, what great records, what great. And that kind of like makes it cyclical to what we were talking about, how you kind of started the conversation with, like us in a live aspect and like how you saw a band, but it really didn't like transpose to the fans the way that it did. But it's like when you listen to those records and you think about those records, you already get a reaction from them, and that's what really makes it awesome. That's what really makes it an experience, when you know that the band is really feeling what they're saying, really feeling what they're doing, really into what they're performing, because it's real, it's visceral, it's
Well,
natural.
it's exciting for the band, and when it's
Exactly.
exciting for the band, it translates to the crowd.
Exactly, right? It's like you cannot think that. That's the thing. And that's what I was trying to get at, is I think fans and people who listen to music, especially heavy music, you can't fake that authenticity to them.
Right.
You just can't. They can tell right away whether you're really all about this or not. And I think when people see us live, they really go, oh no, that band's like the real deal. Like, they're really feeling that.
So I'm gonna kind of switch topics here for a second.
Sure, man, sure.
So I would obvious I told you I was listening to some Heartsick when you hopped on. When did Shame come out? I feel like that just came out recently.
Yeah. So it came out recently. So we have like a shitload of music recorded, and like I said, we're in the studio now. Like, that's why I'm still in my car and stuff. We're getting back from the studio. We have another couple of days in the studio. We're working on a couple of songs. So the idea has been for a while is to record as much music as possible, and that kind of came out during the COVID era type stuff. The C word. When that happened, obviously, everyone was just like, what do we do? We can't do anything. We were kind of like, screw that. We have to stay active, because a band like us doesn't have the luxury of a band like Slayer or Metallica or Emotionless in White or whatever, that can just like fuck off for 3 years and not do anything and then come back and everybody cares. Like, we don't get that type of treatment at the level that we're at right now. So we started doing a lot of different things. We did like two or three sh live stream shows. We did like very like hush hush type of like basement shows where we only invited like X amount of people, like all that other stuff. But part of what we did, we're like, well, let's just go record as many songs as humanly possible until this stuff is done and over with. So we ended up starting to go into the studio right at the end of 2019, and then right at the beginning of 2020. And in between that time, from like 2019 till now, we ended up recording like, I want to say like 26 songs or something like that.
Hell yeah.
And some of those songs were covers, and some of those songs were all originals. So that's why we've come out with like EPs here and there. So we put out an EP, and then we the singles, and then we put out another EP, and then we put out a couple of singles. So the idea has always been, and the plan has always been, we would do in total and maybe like a covers EP or something, and then release a record. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're just about done recording the last cover for this new EP that we're going to be doing, and it's going to be a covers EP. And we just released an EP digitally called Mind, Body, and Spirit, which was kind of like a collection of all the other singles, and then Shame, was the cover that we put on that EP. So that just came out, but we had had that cover recorded probably for like a good like 4 or 5 months
okay.
beforehand. And then now we just finished recording one more cover. We were just in the studio yesterday and today. And then we go back tomorrow and then Wednesday, and we should be done with 3 new songs that we're doing. So it's like one cover, 2 new songs. And I think the plan from there is to release another new song. We just finished the video for, we have one last thing to do for the video, because we were in between drummers. So we just got a new drummer, and the drummer that we had was in the video for the new song that we were planning to release, but we're like, ah, fuck that, we don't want to do that because then it's going to be all confusing. So we scrapped all the drum parts, and then we had our new drummer learn the song. But we've been like playing a bunch of shows and then like recording, so it's been kind of like this hectic kind of schedule, and he finally just learned the song. So we just finished recording the parts for the video, and we have one more part to do with him. So we'll release that song with a new video probably mid-March.
All right.
And then right after we release that, probably a week later, we release our covers EP, which is just basically the covers that we've released plus a brand new cover that we just did. And then we'll release a new record in August, and we'll have all those songs. So yeah, it's kind of like all over the place right now.
Yeah, but it's like nonstop, you know, it's go, 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 which is what, like, you know, right? It's what you guys have to keep doing.
Exactly, exactly.
So, you know, I remember, I didn't go, but you guys played, what was the mountain festival?
Blue Ridge Rock Fest.
Yeah, that's it. I was going to call it Blue Mountain.
The shit show.
Yeah. So Blue Ridge, like day one, it got canceled, and you guys did something kind of unique.
So, okay. So yeah, it's a little muddied water wise, but I'll kind of like help sort of clear all that up. So
okay,
we got on Blue Ridge Rock Festival because we got voted on by like a fuckload of people. They were just like, you have to have this band, and they just kept harassing Blue Ridge until they said yes. So we ended up getting on Blue Ridge because all our fans harassed the shit out of them. So we get on Blue Ridge, and we were like, okay, well, we're going to be driving damn near 20 hours with a van and a trailer through these mountains to get to this festival to play one day. That doesn't make sense financially in a certain aspect. So how can we make the most of this? So I started reaching out to like groups on Facebook that were catered to like Blue Ridge Rock fans that had been there the years prior. And I started posting like, hey, would any of the campgrounds be cool with us playing on your campground? And we started getting feedback like, fuck yeah, that would be amazing, blah, blah, blah. So then I was like, okay, so that's a viable option. Can we make it work? So then I hit up Blue Ridge, like the actual like owners of Blue Ridge. And I said, hey, we want to do this. Is it allowed? And they were basically like, we can't tell you no, but we're not going to sit here and say yes. And I was like, so we're doing it. So then after I kind of had like the okay from the campgrounds and sort of like the do whatever you want, just don't get arrested type of reply from the festival themselves, yeah, I then started to figure out, okay, how do we make this actually work? Like, we don't want to just bring some like shitty sound system where it sounds like crap. Like, that wasn't it. And it just turns out that we have a good buddy of ours from Ohio who books is in Ohio pretty frequently, and he has like an entire sound system. Like, I'm talking like 30,000 watt sound system. And I was like, yo, if we get you free passes, will you be our sound guy, and can we take all your sound gear and play shows on the campgrounds every night after the show that we have? And he's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So then that started turning into a whole thing. So then the campgrounds were like, yeah, let's make this happen, blah, 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 let's do this. And then we got asked by a band, they're called Fight From Within, if they could like kind of come and jump on the campgrounds because they were already going to be there. And we were like, yeah, sure, no big deal, you know. So every night, our buddy would set up the PA system that he had, and then we would play a show at around midnight on the campgrounds when people were getting out of the festival itself, and they could come check out the show if they wanted to. So we did it the first night, which was Wednesday night. We did Wednesday night. We set up the entire PA system, and at around midnight we played, and that was like the pre-party, and we did that, and it was great. It worked out great. Then Thursday was the day that we played. And we got lucky because we were the first band on the main stage that day at 12:45. So at 12:45, we played, and it was like hot as shit. There was just an ass load of people. It went fantastically, it went splendidly. And then that storm hit that Thursday. And the festival got shut down that Thursday. But by like midnight, there was no rain. So we set up our equipment again and played another after party show, sort of like a generator show. And that's what it was. We had two generators and we played generator shows. Then Friday came around and all the bands got to play Friday because there was no storm. But then Saturday morning, we woke up and there was already storming. And that's kind of when like shit started to hit the fan. And by like 2 in the afternoon Saturday, they announced that the festival was completely canceled. And we started getting people running up to us and being like, you guys have to play. Everybody's fucking pissed off. You guys have to do one of these generator shows again. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, people are going to riot, blah, blah, blah. So us and a couple of our friends and our crew, we ended up when we decided to do the generator shows, our buddy who owns that sound system has like a 20 by 20 gigantic tent. So it just worked out that we had enough cover for our gear to not get wet. So we set up this entire tent. We started just spreading the word around like that we were going to have this show. And by like 6:30, so we thought maybe we'll get like 400 or 500 people, you know,
Right.
that's what we thought, right? But like 6:30 in the afternoon, we had like 4,000 people at this campground, and we were like, oh, this is great, but not great at the same time. You could tell like the festival people were freaking the fuck out. EMTs were like, what's gonna happen? But yeah, we threw this show and we allowed a couple other bands to join us. And then we made friends with I set my friends on fire and they played right before us. And it was like Fight From the Within open, and then there was another band, and then set my friend my on fire, set my friends on fire, and then us. Yeah, and by like, dude, by like the time we went on at like 9 at night, it was like it was just asses to elbows, dude. It was absolute madness. Just pure party rager. But the coolest thing about it was no one got hurt. There was no complaints. Everyone had a great time. It never got shut down. It was like awesome. It really was. And we got video of it. It was just crazy, dude. We could have, like, out of all the scenarios that we went through in our heads on how any of this would play out, that was like the last of the last, you
Right.
know?
Well, and it's really awesome that you guys took this horrible fucking situation and had a few thousand people there like rocking out. Like I'll bet every one of those people is like, I will forever remember this. They canceled the festival and we still had a show.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the feedback we got. And I think that that was like that's the coolest thing ever. You know, like we were part of some people's core memories,
Oh, for
and that's
sure.
awesome. And
A
that's
lot
awesome.
of people. Not even some, a lot of people.
It was nuts, man. It's still like I still can't believe that actually happened.
Yeah, I remember seeing it and I was just like, holy fuck, that's so cool. Like, I'm
Was
glad
wild.
Yeah, I'm glad people are doing that. You know, that you are you familiar with Hemorrhage out of California?
I know the band, yeah.
They're I guess I think they left for tour today, and they're doing a few nights following Municipal Waste. So when everyone gets done with that, they come out to Hemorrhage on the bus plan, and
That's awesome.
they've got, I think they're playing outside of South by Southwest. I don't know. It's like 2 weeks of there and back home for them.
Yeah, just generator shows. Fuck it. Just find a show, set up some generators, and rock it, you
Yeah.
know?
You got to do it, right? Like you can't talk to everyone in the country and book all your shows. Shit,
Exactly.
just go make it. That's the real like DIY mentality, you know?
Just go make it happen, man. You got to go do it.
For sure. So you obviously you guys are recording all this new stuff. The you said the EP, the covers EP, when are you expecting that to come out?
We just finished the last cover today with all the vocals and stuff. So I think we'll probably release it right at the end of March. Sort of like we're trying to just basically keep like every month have something come out for the next couple of months. So I think that'll be out at the end of March. I think that's safe to say that we could put it out at the end of March.
Okay. And then full length behind that.
Full length would probably be coming sometime in August. Kind of get all our bearings together. We have like a lot of brand new music, and I think we just have to kind of sit down and pick out what songs we want to put on a record, and then probably we still have more music after that, so it'll probably be like full length and then maybe some other singles or something. So,
Hell
but I
yeah.
think we'll announce the full length. I think we'll announce the full length probably in April, and then release it in August, probably is what will end up happening.
Okay. So what I miss a long time ago, that a band would release a single and then have a B-side, something you couldn't get anywhere else on that single.
So I think we'll probably end up doing something like that where like so I think what'll end up happening is like the best way to do it seems these days is to like release a few singles and then make something different with it and then release it on a record. So I think that's why the record will come in August, because we'll think about what songs will actually make the record. And then what can release as like a B-side, something we'll probably not play live, but it'll be part of like these three singles that we release type of thing, you
Yeah.
know? So like one of those like maxi singles where it's like you had like a three disc and then there was like another song on it that, you know, you couldn't get anywhere else type thing, like you said, you know, like the
Yeah.
Japanese version or stuff like that.
Oh yeah. The hidden track that was only on the
Exactly.
Yeah, God, I missed those. I spent way too much money, like, oh, I'm gonna order this Japanese and Justice for All because it has the prints on it or whatever, you know, like
But
that
that was
was.
so fun. I think that's what the, you know, the younger generation, the Gen Zs and stuff are gonna miss out on is stuff like that. You know, I think those are core memories to us, but I'm sure, you know, there's different things for them. But I mean, I think that
But
was the
I think a lot of bands are going back to that, right? Like I've talked to a few bands and they're like, oh yeah, like our digital album is going to have like eight songs and you buy the physical copy and it's got 10 on it. Like, oh,
Exactly.
you
Yep.
know, it's great to have those physical copies. I'm a record collector, so it's, I want to have the vinyl. I want to have this big tangible thing where I don't have to put on glasses to read the lyrics and, you know, 'cause I'm getting old.
Exactly.
All right. Have you guys got artwork for it? For
No. So that's the one thing. It's like we're so that's probably why it'll take until August to kind of do, because we don't have any artwork for any of it yet. So I think right now with the covers EP, we'll have some artwork kind of done type thing. And then for the actual record, we'll probably take our time, figure out what songs we want to actually be on the record, what songs would just be B-sides, and then what will be the actual like artwork for the record, because we still like to put out CDs, we still print CDs, we still do that. It's still something that people want, even if it's just tangible. But what we do is we're kind of just like, we don't have a price on our CDs at our merch table. It's just kind of like, people will be like, hey, like, how much is your CD? And we're just like, whatever you want to donate, donate whatever you want. Because we know that a lot of people don't have CD players anymore, and that doesn't really exist in today's world.
Right.
But people still want the tangible. People still want like the artwork and stuff like that. So it kind of just leaves it up to them to say, hey, like, whatever you feel this is worth, then just give us that kind of thing. And we'll keep making.
Do you guys ever think about doing vinyl?
We do. We did a vinyl. We have one vinyl that's out. And that's like, and that was another thing too. It's like on the vinyl, you could only, there's two songs that you can't get anywhere else. It's like on the vinyl. That isn't hard printed anywhere, and we did that, and it's a double vinyl, and it's really cool. It's great. The artwork's amazing. The artist that did all the work on it was incredible. It's just a really expensive for a band like us who's really independent. It's like, to print vinyl is like, it is a lot of money. It is
yeah.
like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Well,
So
especially
it's
when
like,
you're talking about doing the double albums, right? You're
exactly.
like,
Yeah. You can only order X amount. So for us, it was like, we did a double vinyl, and it was like 500 copies was like $6,600. So it's like, it's a lot of money.
yeah.
But we sell them for like $25. So, I mean, you know, we don't make a huge profit on them, and people like them and people buy them, and it's cool. And it's just one other thing that you have that nobody else, there's only 500 copies of those. We're not making any more. Like,
Right.
that's it. You know?
Well, that's what I like the singles. It's really what the 7 inches, I think, is where it's at, right? You release a single, you could do 100 copies of it, and it's going to cost you $6 or $7 an album to put out. And then you sell them for 10, which again, is not a huge profit, right? But it's something really cool that I think, it sells out really fast. There's bands that are doing that. They do that first press, right? This one's green. Second press is blue. You know, then this one's black.
Yeah.
And someone like me, I gotta have all of them. So I'm like, oh shit, I'm buying every freaking one I can.
Yeah. So I think for us, I think that's something that I'm starting to think about is when we do the covers EP and we release that, do we want to do vinyl? And I'm just gonna start looking up and like what the prices are for the vinyl for that and see, because it's only 4 songs, so we'll see how that goes.
Right. Well, let's talk kind of offline about that, because I've got a handful of record pressing places that do a good job that
sick, cool.
I think might work for you,
Hell yeah,
especially with those smaller runs, which
yeah, we would do at the most like 500 of them or something like that, you know.
Yeah, well, I would say even less than that, right? Because
Oh, cool. Yeah.
If you put out 100 and they sell out like that, all you're doing is people are like, oh shit, I got to get on the next one.
Yeah. But you can do like a different pressing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's if you know some places that'll let you print that little, that's amazing. Cause then for us, it's like, it's a little easier to afford, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's my thing is like the underground bands, right? So talking to all the bands who can't afford to go out and print 10, 15, 20,000 copies of an album and have it sit in the basement for, you know, 16 years while they all sell out.
Exactly.
You know? So let's see. Do you guys have tour plans this year?
Yeah. So we have a plan to go out on about 2.5 week tour sometime in July. We're playing a festival in Canada that we haven't announced yet in August. So we have a couple of festivals that we're doing the week before. So I think we're going to kind of put all those together and make a run out of it. And it'll be our first time going to Canada. So I think we're doing like 4 or 5 days in Canada. We're trying to. We have one for sure. So we're going to see how that goes. But that'll be about 2 weeks. And then we're getting ready to announce a couple other festivals that we're on in Pennsylvania. So that'll be cool. So yeah, right now the plan is to do 2 weeks in July going into August for sure. And then there was talks of maybe something at the beginning, the middle of June, but we'll see. You know, like we got asked to do it and we're like, sure, we're all about it. But then I kind of haven't heard anything back from it since. So I kind of got to poke that bear and see what's up.
Okay, well, hopefully that works out for you.
Yeah, be nice.
Plans to come south on that run?
Yeah, so we're coming at the end of July. We're playing in North Carolina. We're playing in South Carolina. So I think we'll end up hitting Kentucky as well.
Okay.
I'm hoping to hit Louisville, so that'll be cool. I just don't have like dates off the top of my head. But yeah, we're
Sure.
definitely planning to come back. No, you know what? That's a lie. I'm fucking lying. July 7th, we're playing it used to be called Losers 812 or
Wrong
something.
side.
Wrong side. July 7th, we're playing Wrong Side.
Okay, that's a cool little place to play.
So we're playing there July 7th.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, and last time you guys were here, you played 21st Amendment, I think, with Nagazi.
Yes, we played, and then after that we hit Magbar or something like that. We did
Oh,
that
yeah.
as well. So yeah, so we'll be at Wrong Side in July for sure.
Okay, cool. I guess I might have to go to wrong side.
You'll see ads and everything for it. We're gonna really start trying to like not suck at promoting shows.
Dude, I'm telling you that I think that's the hardest thing for anyone to do, right? Is just to be consistent with all of that because it's a lot, right? When you get into media and all that, there's
It's you have to realistically these days, man, you have to have an advertising budget. It's just what it is, you know. You have to
yeah.
say, you know, my advertising budget a month is whatever, $2,000, $1,000, whatever it is, and then you have to like figure out where to put those pockets into, you know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Alfonso. It's late. I know you're gonna go hang out with your wife for a minute. Say hi to your kid, all that good stuff. So,
Absolutely.
dude, I greatly appreciate you taking time out tonight to hang out and kind of bullshit with me and talk about all things music.
Course, man. I appreciate it. I'm always humbled and honored that people want to talk to us and to me about the band. I think, you know, for us, when we started this band many, many, many years ago, the idea was just to get free beer and play college parties
Yeah.
and meet chicks. That was the idea. And it's become so much more. It's become so much more in depth for us on an emotional level. So it's always crazy to me that someone like you would hit us up and be like, hey, I want to interview you guys. That to me, it's like we just don't have that mentality. We're not that type of band. Like we've never wanted to be rock stars or famous or anything. We just wanted to get free beer and meet chicks at one point in
Yeah.
college. And it just kind of grew. So, you know, the thanks and the honor and the graciousness is all on our part. Thank you so much for having me on the show and wanting to talk to me, man. All for it. I'm glad I got to drive around and go get my wife some wine
Some
and buy my
wine.
kid a couple of
Yeah.
pajamas while I try to get KFC and fail.
Damn you, KFC.
I know, man. Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Well, dude, go have yourself a great night. I'm looking forward to some new music, and I don't know. I'll send you a message probably like tomorrow or Wednesday, and kind of give you some pressing plants that'll do
Yeah.
smaller runs. All
Please,
right.
please do, man. Anything you have, tell me. Thank you.
Hell yeah, dude. Have a great night.
Take care, brother. Be
You
safe.
too. See ya.
Bye.